what's happening in your hometown? Let us know. Call the KGLO Live Line on the Tim Fleming Show at 494-2500. We're your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO. Everybody get up.
That sounds like the cheering coming from the sideline over there. It's time for our program with Chad Hansen from Corporate Farmer. Chad, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, fantastic. And, you know, a big salute today as we talk on Tuesday. It's Ag Day. And, you know, I figure agriculture should get more than a day anyway, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. You know, especially here in the Midwest, obviously it's a big component, you know, of our economy, and, you know, a lot of people that are either directly or indirectly involved in agriculture, and, you know, for many, you know, it's a big portion of their income and livelihood and all those things. And so outside of here, I think, you know, people still understand how dependent we are on, you know, the ag industry for food, energy, you know, and so many other products that are made, you know, from the fruits of the labor of, you know, our farmers. And so I think it is definitely important that we salute them and their hard work and everything that they do for us.
Yeah, I think there's something else, too, that goes along with that in agriculture, and you know it as well, but there is, and you mentioned it there, the work that they do, but there's a work ethic, and there's a family ethic, and it's, I mean, it really is faith and family and and community. They're all involved. You know, there's no punch in, punch out. You start the day early and you end the day late oftentimes.
It's the reason why, you know, we feel like that Iowa is so respected for their work ethic, you know, outside of the state. And like you said, so many of the attributes that we attribute to kind of that farmer and you know, being a big part of the community and everything that they do, it just trickles down, you know. It's kind of, we all know and have friends or we're involved in agriculture, and you learn kind of some of those fundamentals in life. And you know, you and I like to talk sports and everything, but those fundamentals that we learned in sports are what carry you on to, you know, throughout your whole career, whether it's high school or college or, you know, wherever that takes you. And it's the same thing when it comes to those attributes and things that you learn on the farm that carry on to college and professional life outside of, you know, maybe here or even in agriculture later on down the road. And so, you know, I do think that it's kind of that backbone of our communities in every way, you know. And, you know, for that, I think that it's good to have kind of a little bit of a celebration, not just to pat them on the back and say, you know, good job, we appreciate you, but, you know, just for everybody to kind of recognize and kind of recollect about, you know, what it means to be farm strong and some of these other, you know, kind of phrases that we use to describe agriculture, you know, here and throughout the Midwest.
Yeah, I was telling the story earlier. I think the first time I was on a farm was, I had a friend of mine was a pitcher on our baseball team in high school. And I was a city kid, and I said to him, how do you stay in such great shape? And he said, chores. And he did chores before school. He did chores after school. And that meant school, practice, chores. And he dragged me out there one day, and he showed me what it was like. No wonder he was in such good shape. I think he could throw about 200 pitches a game. It wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, and I say how, you know, some of that kind of parlays into other areas. For me, you know, I didn't have parents that were directly involved in ag or grow up on a farm, but, you know, my grandfather was such a big influence in my life, and as a kid, you know, I spent a lot of time with him, whether it was, you know, helping him. He used to mow lawns and do, yard work and all kinds of things on the side and weekends. And, you know, he kind of grew up on that farm, and then later in life, you know, moved on to a different occupation. But, you know, he still had that kind of work ethic. And, you know, that's a lot of the reasons that I say I am where I am is because of what he instilled in me and, you know, the respect I have, you know, for him. And he was always kind of known as that hard worker, never kind of sitting at home and doing nothing. And you know, again, I really respect, you know, so many things about him and what he's taught me. And, you know, obviously he's not around today, but those things still kind of live in me and in, you know, how I approach my work today.
Well, and your work today is it's team agriculture at Corporate Farmer. You've got there's a lot of caring that goes into what you do as a, you know, a farm accounting firm, because mm-hmm. you're working side by side with these folks, and there's trust involved and so much more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a passion, no doubt. And, you know, and you obviously do it because of those relationships and the respect that you have for those individuals. But like you said, they do put a lot of faith in us, and you know, we want to live up to those expectations, not only just in the work that we do on their taxes, but I mean, when we're providing financial advice, you know, it's a time right now where there is just a lot of like unknowns and concerns with you know, the overall economy coming out of a pandemic and what that's going to look like. None of us have probably ever done that before in our lives. And then, you know, what happens right during that period of time as we see war overseas. And, you know, for ag, that's even bigger than, you know, maybe for other people, just because of the, you know, place that Russia and Ukraine play in the overall ag economy. And so, you know, with all the kind of unknowns and uncertainty that are happening right now, that's when it's kind of most important to buckle down and make some of those decisions and have that game plan like we always seem to kind of turn back to when you and I talk about, you know, the financials and things that are associated with our family farms.
Well, here you are. You guys are, you're kind of up against the clock a little bit right
yeah.
now. It's winding pretty good, I know. But, you know, it's tax time, busy time for you. I was joking mm-hmm. with you before we went on the air. We drove by the other day, and you were hard at it in your office. I could see it working through the window, and, you know, that's what it takes.
Yeah, it's kind of late third quarter at this point in time. Probably all out of timeouts already. We've spent those, and so you gotta keep plugging away and make sure that you got that lead going into the fourth quarter. So you know, you're not playing from behind, and you know that's what it definitely feels like. You know, one item that I'll bring up that you and I have talked a little bit about is kind of that March 1 deadline. We thought, you know, that was what, almost 3 weeks ago at this point, and you know, we did hear last week about a little bit of relief for those farmers that were part of an S corporation and needed to file a Form 7203 that had to deal with basis there and whether they had enough basis to take maybe some losses on their K-1s. You know, since that time in the last week, we got even more relief. Now, basically, the IRS is saying we're going to waive the March 1 deadline, and any farmers that file by April 18th this year are not going to have any penalties or interest associated with not paying by that March 1st deadline. So I guess at this point, 3 weeks later, we can throw that out the window. Seems quite crazy that, you know, that we're going to do that at this point. It would have been nice to get that guidance maybe prior to March 1st, but yeah, that's about how things work. And we pretty much have come to expect at this point in time that there'll be these kind of delays in deadlines. Just been about 3 or 4 years now since we've kind of had a normal schedule and kind of stuck to it. So, you know, I doubt there's too many people out there at this point in time that, you know, didn't file by March 1st if they were required to, but I guess if you did and you took a chance, you are going to get rewarded.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, you think about it, and probably in your business, there have been as many changes or more than almost any since this whole pandemic thing. Certainly, as you said, you know, 3 years ago probably was the last time maybe you had kind of a handle maybe what was going on.
Yeah, and then we got some guidance. I know another thing that you and I have talked about quite a bit is just the backlog that the IRS is under with the shutdown during the pandemic and shorter hours and understaffed, and they'll say under budgeted for their department. They say they're making progress and they're catching things up. They are expecting, or at least they're kind of hinting at the fact they think they might get things caught up by next January. So if you've gotten some notices and about non-filing and different things that you know you've taken care of, I guess at least by next year, they should have that all taken care of. So I don't know how much relief that is to most of us that, they're kind of about 8 or 9 months away from hopefully getting caught back up. But, I guess it's at least a goal that they've set for themselves and an expectation to maybe resolve some of those matters. So, yeah, always interesting. And like you said, you know, it's just one of those deals that I think as we kind of continue to move forward, as kind of difficult as it is for, you know, a lot of our rural and older people that, probably aren't into technology and rather not use that as a means to pay their taxes or, you know, to file reports and things, that the wave right now is definitely in the direction of all this online electronic type stuff. And, you know, I follow this with, you know, the story about the IRS catching up is because of the fact that, you know, they recognize that the paper filings that are still happening on some forms and processing of paper checks and things is, not how they can be the most efficient. And so as we move forward, I think you're going to see a real push from them to upgrade their computer systems to make more of these forms, required so that it kind of does some of the due diligence that their staff used to take care of. And they're going to put that on the preparer and the taxpayer to complete more of that so that the computer can do kind of the cross-checking to make sure that everything is being accounted for properly. And so, you know, my expectation of what's in the near future is the fact that we're going to see more of these checkbox, fill-in-the-blank type forms, your returns. You know, I go back to the days when I started and, about 24 years ago, kind of dealing in this area where most of the returns were maybe 6, 7, 8 pages total. And now we see, you know, almost a book for, a copy of a tax return. That's just going to continue to compound and become more complicated and get to the point where I think it's almost going to be unreasonable for anybody outside of someone that just has a W-2 and some kind of minor things to be able to do their own return, just because of the fact that, like I said, in the future it's all going to be done kind of electronically. Check the box, fill this in, make sure to verify these types of things, and it's just difficult for the average person to kind of stay up on all those changes that are occurring and how quickly all these things happen. Unfortunately, that's what leads to these delays like we've had with the March 1 deadline, is because of the new forms that are introduced and the difficulty that the software developers have, kind of working with the IRS to make sure that all the systems jive and that the forms work like they're supposed to. It's just impossible to get that all taken care of within that window from when that is introduced, you know, sometime during 2021, and to try and get it all in place by either, you know, March 1 or, to be honest, the April 18th, you know, deadline this year. You know, it's a big undertaking, and then, you know, kind of add in there the fact that there's still, you know, understaffed and probably don't have all the resources they need to do it, you know, in a normal year.
It does make you appreciate the other side, too, when you think about the stresses that some folks may be going through themselves, and to realize maybe on the other side that person in an IRS office has got to handle millions of these. there's stress all around for everybody. So everybody take a big, deep breath and kind of lean on Corporate Farmer. I'm going to throw the stress right back at you, Chad. That's a
deal. You do? I guess I've got, maybe it's age or maybe, I don't know, maybe something else. I don't know. But, you know, I just, for me, I kind of have gotten to the point, it's probably experience more than anything, that you realize that, you know, you're not going to change it that like this. You know, the March 1 deadline being put off, you just know that those things are probably inevitable, and you can sit there and worry about it, or you can just get done what you need to do and be patient until, you know, something gets fixed on the other end. And that's kind of what it boils down to anymore. I know that sometimes for me it's about calming the nerves of a client, just to say, hey, you know, I've been down this road before. I know you're getting this in the mail, but it'll be taken care of. They're behind. They'll get it straightened out. We know we've done our job, and now we've got to place that in the hands of somebody else to get it taken care of. And so, you know, I guess experience kind of has a way of making you not kind of fret or worry about those things like you maybe used to.
Well, good for you and your staff. And I know on this Ag Day and Ag Week, I know everybody in agriculture sure appreciates Corporate Farmer and all you can do for your clients and for future clients, too. So if somebody's willing to jump on board and find out a little bit more about what you do, Chad, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's super easy. Just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
Chad, great to have you on this morning.
You too, Tim. Thank you very much.
Have a great week.
Bye.
It's Chad Hansen with us, president of Corporate Farmer in Mason City, and that's our program on AM 1300, KGLO Mason City, and KGLOAM.com.